What's going on, everyone? Tanner Poppet here of Madrost, Poppet's Corner, and Razor Radio. Just wanted to remind you guys to check out the new and improved Heavy Metal Television at heavymetaltelevision.com. That's right, heavymetaltelevision.com. Just type in that search bar, man, heavymetaltelevision.com. Now let's check out the episode you actually came to see.
Show from the World Changer release with Sunset Station, and just before that we heard the Jizzy Pearl fronted LA Guns from the Shrinking Violet release with Barbed Wire.
That's right.
And I know you like that CD, right?
I do. I like that. I like that song. I like California. There's a lot of good songs on that one. That's just a good record.
Yeah, it's a good rock record.
Jizzy doesn't do any bad records, really, does he? Is there anything that he's done that you just don't like?
Not really. I can't say that I wasn't a big fan of Let's Eat.
Yeah, that's true. That was kind
of... I wasn't a big fan of that one.
Don't play your guitar if you're talking to me.
Yeah, but his solo records were good. Yeah. You know, obviously the classic love-hate records were good. The record that Shrinking Violet that I just played a song from, that was pretty good.
Yeah, even the Quiet Riot EP that they put out was pretty good.
Yeah, we'll not get into that.
Well, that was good. It was Jizzy.
I know, I'm just being funny because that's
guitar playing is weak. But
yeah, you know. that's that's the one that kind of caused a little riff.
Yeah, exactly.
That I was able to patch up at the farm rock.
As you should have had to. You're the one that caused it.
Because I gave my real opinion.
Yeah, how dare you?
Yeah, how dare I?
I just know that was like, because Jizzy Pearl, Love Hate is probably my favorite of the hair bands. You know, that is probably my favorite hair band, of, not to use that awful term that everybody hates, but I'll use it anyway. And when Jizzy got all mad at us and blocked me, I was like, what the hell, brother, bro? Because I like Jizzy. I consider him a friend, even though I don't talk to him that much anymore. I don't really see, because I'm not online anymore, I guess. You know, it's weird that is the one thing that has changed since I kind of gave up on social media. I talk to a lot of people that I used to talk to regularly a whole lot less now.
Yeah, well, that's just, you know, the way the modern age is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which again, you know, me, aside from, really, in all honesty, aside from talking with you or Sal or our good friend Sammy Lee, yeah. And a few, you know, texts here and there with maybe Kendall, or, you know, who else do I text with? Not very many people. I have zero contact with very many people at all.
Jesus, your core is me, Sal, and Sammy Lee. That's sad. And
yeah, for the most part, yeah. When it comes to just chatting with people, sure. I talk to you, obviously, the most. Yeah. And then I speak with Sammy. I talked to him this week. I talked to him on Thursday. And then I chat with Sal a little bit. I text a little bit with Kendall. I text with Taylor now and again, not a whole lot because I don't do any kind of social media. So I don't correspond that way.
Right.
So yeah, my core of people that I even associate with is very, very limited. You have 9, I have like 5.
Yeah, exactly. I am not, but I'll tell you what, I'm on the phone all the fucking time. I don't know how you avoid calling people. And
well,
I'm a social guy. You know, well,
the thing is that you can talk on the phone throughout the day if you want. I don't. I'm at work. I work, you know, at a place. I can't just pick up the phone and just yap at somebody.
Yeah, no, most of my stuff, though, is after like 6. It's people calling me like you do, calling me on their way home.
Yeah.
People are always calling me on their way home, and then, you know, or later, because people know that I'm up late. So it's like, I'll get these late, like the on Friday night, yesterday night, Braverman called me at, I think it was like 11:30, you know, 11:30 at night.
And that's early for him because he's what on Pacific time, I think. Yeah. Right.
He knew that I would be up. So, you know, he was like, yeah, whatever, you know?
Well, when you make your own schedule, you know, it's a lot different.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't really associate with that many people, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I don't. I just, you know, I trade a few texts here and there, and to actually speak with somebody.
Yeah.
You know, even Sal, most of our discussions are via text, you know?
Yeah. I choose to communicate with Sal exclusively through tin can with rope in it.
So, yeah, it's very limited. I just, you know, I just don't do it anymore or haven't done it. It's just like, I guess mostly because I don't really have that much to talk about. To
right. Yeah. Well, I went to work. It was great.
I told you earlier that after almost a 3-year hiatus, I actually spoke with Veronica from Benedictum.
Look at that.
I actually spoke with her.
I'm sure that was like her talking a million miles a minute and then you going, yeah. Cause that's how a Veronica call goes. It's like, then I went to do this and then I went to do that. And then I was over here and then I went to the farm and then I went to the market. And then I went to over here. And you go, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think I've spoken with her for probably close to 3 years.
Yeah. I hear from her,
you know? So that was kind of a different thing.
Sure.
Kind of catching up there, but boy, for the most part, yeah, it's either email or maybe a few texts and rarely a phone call.
Well, the truth is you hate people more than most. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, I'm just irritated by people. I just get irritated.
You watch that fucking I Am Legend as a fantasy, don't you? You're like, that would be great. No people. Just walking around, no people at all. Just got to dodge a couple of dogs here and there, a couple of wolves.
Right.
That's like heaven to you, isn't it?
Well, you know, I was watching an old Bill Burr stand-up comedy thing.
Okay.
It might have been 10, maybe 11 years old, maybe 12 years old at the most.
Sure.
And he was talking about his chick while he was out on the road. His chick adopted a pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he takes that pit bull out for a walk and he says people cross the street when they see him coming.
Right.
And he goes, I don't know what black people are talking about. He says, I love this. I don't have to be around anybody. They see me walking with that pit bull. It's like a gun. It's like a walking gun.
Right.
He says, if people like avoid me and walk the other way and go across the street, he says, I love this. I have the whole sidewalk to myself.
Right.
It was pretty funny. It's just like, God damn, Bill Burr was actually funny, you know, 10, 12 years ago when you could actually say certain things.
Sure.
You know,
you know, what's amazing about that is if you do it in the context of cartoons, it seems like it's still okay. Like South Park doesn't really take a lot of heat. And
well, who are you going to hold accountable, Cartman?
No, but that's it. I mean, you would hold, you know, the writers, but Bill Burr, his star is growing with F is for Family. You know? Yeah,
but see the difference between what is Matt and Trey?
Yeah.
Of South Park. They're not really a face. I mean, you know of them and you may see them on an interview or something, mm-hmm. but they're not live performers.
Right.
They're not a face. Bill Burr is a live performer. He is a face, but he's also a voice of a cartoon,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the difference. That's the whole thing is he is a quote unquote, a personality.
Right. No, you're right.
Matt and Trey from South Park, they're kind of like the behind the scenes guy. They're the guys you never see. You know who you, if you follow South Park or are familiar with the creators, you might know their names.
Yeah.
But like, would you notice them on the street?
Of course not. It's like that Nancy Cartwright that does Bart Simpson's voice. you know, everybody knows Bart Simpson. Nobody knows Nancy Cartwright.
Of course.
You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. So if you have notoriety or celebrity and you make your money, you're commercially viable. Mm-hmm. That's when people get really sketchy about being careful about stuff because, man, this could, you know, this could upend my livelihood.
Right.
You know, because of the assholes out there to go, you can't see that.
Dude, speaking of cartoons, I was meaning to tell you this real quick and then we can get into something real, but
sure.
You know, my absolute distaste for cartoon stuff. I'm just not a fan. I mean, yeah, I do.
There's stuff I love. Obviously I've talked about like BoJack Horseman, yeah. And I've talked about Archer and, sure. You know, stuff like I love those shows. They crack me up to no end.
There's a couple that are good. Like I've kind of gotten into South Park recently, and I did like F is for Family, and I liked Archer. But for the most part, cartoons stink. Boy, did I come across the all-time bag of shit this week, thinking that I had somehow cleared my phobia of cartoon TV. There's a show on Netflix called Paradise PD. Have you seen this?
I'm not aware of it, no.
Oh, it is the worst. Listen to the premise to this, and you tell me that you would ever watch this again. I didn't know what it was. I just assumed it was. It looked like it's the same artist that did F is for Family, which is why I turned it on. Here's the premise. There's this cop who's like super, super successful cop. And he's like man's man and everything.
Okay.
And he's got a little faggot son, just a queer, but he's trying to raise his kid to be more manly.
Okay.
So the kid is trying to fall in dad's footsteps. And he's like, you know, he's using all the cop terms in the house and stuff like that. Right. So at some point, the dad, he goes into the bedroom with the mom and starts fucking the mom.
Okay.
And the kid who wants to be like the dad finds the guy's gun and shoots dad's balls off while he's banging mom. Yeah. Bang. Shoots his balls off. And okay. Then they fast forward like 10 years or whatever. And now this once manly man cop, he's lost his hair. He's a turd at his job. Everybody makes fun of him.
So he's a eunuch.
Yeah. And with no balls figuratively or literally anymore.
Well, that's what a eunuch is. With no genitalia.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying without any emotional balls either. He's just a pussy now. He's a hateful pussy of his.
Well, because he's got no testosterone.
Right. And the only thing he has anger with is his son, who now wants to be a cop still. So then the premise of the show is that his son is interning at the police department where dad still works. It is garbage. I couldn't believe how fucking bad it was. I was like, well, how did Netflix greenlight this fucking bag of shit? It's called Paradise PD.
All right. Well, it just tells me never to look at it.
Never, dude. So awful.
Holy shit.
I can't even. I wish I could say I was kidding that this, you know, like I was over dramatizing what the show is really about. This is really what the show is about. I mean, who came up with this? Is it, I guess because dude's a white guy, it's okay that he got shot and mutilated.
Now, how did his son shoot his balls off, but not hit his mother's pussy?
I don't know. I guess maybe on the upstroke. He was banging her and he came as he was coming on the upstroke. His balls were hanging down and took a clean shot between them.
Okay.
I mean, they show him shooting the balls off. I mean, you can watch for yourself if you want. It's episode 1.
Right.
You know, it's, I couldn't fucking believe this is what I was. I'm watching this shit and I'm like, what the hell? There it is. There's the fine characters of Paradise PD.
Oh boy. All right. And
the guy in the middle is the guy that got his balls shot off.
Okay.
But then you've got the chick who, of course, is in perfect shape and is like the total badass. You know, you've got this kid here is the son, the one right behind the father where the father's growling at him.
Yeah, I see that.
You have the drug dog that snorts coke. The whole show is just fucking beyond terrible. You got the
how come all the guys aside from that old wrinkled up dude is all they're all overweight?
Because they're white guys.
Oh, okay. Well, even the black guy is overweight.
He don't look that overweight. He might have had one extra cheeseburger, but not 10. Okay. But he's playing a fucking flute.
Yeah, I see that. Did you say he's playing a fucking fruit?
Well, he is a fucking fruit
player. Well, I kind of gathered that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
But yeah, of course, as you pointed out, the chick, she's a badass. She's got the guns ablazing and she's all in shape and super woman type.
Yeah, of course.
And all the guys are hapless males.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You got this tubby over here that's fucking, you know, he's playing with his cat.
Yeah.
And then their police symbol, which of course can you see the police symbol on his arm there? The dad designed it. And then somehow he didn't find out till after it was on the uniform that it looks like an asshole.
Okay.
The show is bad.
All right. And I know. Okay. All right. Whatever. Now, well, I was just trying to analyze this a little bit more, but yeah, it just, all right. Stinks.
It's just bad. I couldn't believe. First of all, I couldn't believe that I was watching. I was like, what are you doing? This is why you don't watch fucking cartoons. And then it was like, how did someone get paid by Netflix for this? How did this get through a meeting? I mean, I'm telling you, within 5 minutes of the show, cop guy is fucking the wife and gets his balls shot off.
It's a very woke cartoon because masculinity is the enemy.
Yeah, well, there it is. That's probably it. But that's probably how it got greenlit, too.
Absolutely.
It's probably some twat bag fucking artist that drew it.
Alan Killcaller, you're on the air.
Hey, Neely and Chris. It's Philip from Florida. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on, Philip from Florida?
Hey, doing pretty good. I was listening to your app the other day, the CMS app, and I listened to the Vince Neil segment in which you guys discussed the singing from about a week or 2 weeks ago, something like that. But I do have a question for you guys.
Okay.
You brought up during the segment, you asked Chris, does he think Nikki Sixx receives a kickback for Vince singing the songs? And I kind of thought about it. And I've always wondered about this. Is it because that Nikki wrote the songs and Vince sings them solo that I guess that Vince has to pay him so many dollars or
not Vince, the venue,
whatever the case may be?
No, the venue, because the venue has to subscribe to ASCAP or BMI or whatever, and they have to pay for the playing of the public performance of certain songs.
They have to pay a performance royalty.
Okay, so with that, what do you guys think Nikki gets? I mean, per show or per tour, whatever the case may be. I mean, ballpark average.
You know what? I'm going to be honest.
Go ahead. But to be honest with you, Dawkins, he performs Tooth and Nail, which Lynch wrote, and does Lynch get a sort of kickback or royalty or?
Well, Lynch wrote it under the Dawkins moniker. He didn't write it as George Lynch solo.
Okay.
So you know, the thing is that when Dawkins as a entity, they all were shared in a quarter, you know, 25% of the band. So I'm sure that there was some kind of royalty paid that each member, Mick, Jeff Pilson, George Lynch, Don Dawkins, they all get some kind of a royalty when George Lynch performs Dawkins songs under the Lynch Mob or whatever he's calling his band that today. So I'm sure it all figures in one way or the other. I don't know. I can't put a number on it. I don't think Chris can put a number on it. Can you, Chris?
No, because I'll be honest. I've known a ton of bar owners that have told me this, that as much as you're supposed to keep track of it and report it. Nobody does. Instead, they just play the, you know, these, there's companies out there that just do, you know, like, hey, pay us, you know, $300 a month and that'll cover all your royalty. But nobody keeps track of the songs to say, okay, well, you know, you played Livewire tonight. That's an eighth of a cent to Nikki and a 16th of a cent to Tommy. You know, it doesn't get measured like that. I'm sure they have some kind of metric that they know that Motley Crue's Home Sweet Home gets covered X amount of times over the course of a weekend or a month or something, and they pay some small number. It's not a big number. I know that. I'm sure he's not sitting around getting $20,000 checks once a month. No way.
Gotcha. So, Chris, one last question. What's your next book going to be about?
You know what? I'll be honest. I have a few that are in the works, but I haven't written. I really haven't written more than a couple of pages here and there since And Other Things came out. I've been focused on the CMS network. You know, once I get that all up and done, I've got a Dokken Shadow Life book that's about halfway written. I've got Megadeth Risk, which is about halfway written. I actually started writing a sequel of Little Victories, but that kind of died out with my absolute hate of dating. So, you know, I don't think that one's ever going to find a conclusion. It's a lot of blank pages, really, but I don't know. There's other things.
How about a warrant dog eat dog?
It's a good one. I don't know that it changed anything, though, with their fans. I would say the one after it is when they... If I was going to write one on Warren, I would say Ultraphobic is the one that changed the, you know, the, where they changed direction really, really drastically. So I would probably go with Ultraphobic if that was the one I was going to do, if that was the band I was going to do. But there's a lot of them, dude. Nine Inch Nails, The Fragile, I've thought about writing. You know, there's bunches of bands that have done records that changed their audience. So, you know, I don't know, but I'll probably start writing. Quite honestly, you're not going to get a book out of me this year for at all. And it's probably going to be late 2022 before I write another book.
Okay. Well, hail and kill, guys. And again, I'm from Florida and my governor, Ron DeSantis, says, fuck you, pal, to Joe Biden and all the dick suckers in Washington. All
right. Enough of you.
All right. Well, getting back to the topic here, since you threw the word faggot out there a couple of times, if you haven't seen us, all right. Well, come on, you did.
Hey,
you said his son was a faggot.
You misheard me.
I did.
I said he was an F word. Did you not understand?
Sure you did.
I did.
All right. Well, anyway, somebody that you like, somebody that I'm not a major fan of. I like him more recently than his earlier career, but obviously, and Kid Rock,
yeah,
Michigan's Kid Rock, he doubles down on his anti-gay bar slur in a tweet.
Shut up.
Kid Rock, who rarely misses a chance to prove critics correct, confirms what we posted on Tuesday. He's still a belligerent bigot.
Oh my God.
A bigot.
Who's writing this? The Huffington Post?
Well, this is from, what is this? This is called Deadline Detroit.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
A day after TMZ spread the word of the 50-year-old's homophobic outburst, he tweets definitely and obnoxiously to 636,000 followers the following.
Yeah.
If Kid Rock uses the word faggot and it offends you, good chance you are one. Either way, I know he has a lot of love for his gay friends, and I will have a talk with him. Have a nice day. Bob Ritchie.
Nice, which is his real name.
That's
funny. So basically, he's basically saying what is the truth, which is it wasn't said as a gay thing. It was said as a weak pussy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that, as far as I'm concerned.
The latest humiliation began with an epithet during a performance at a place called the Fish Lips and Bar and Grill in Smithville, Tennessee.
Wait, I want to stop you right there. Who's humiliated? Doesn't sound like Kid Rock is.
It was humiliating.
To who?
I don't know.
Not to Kid Rock. He clearly doesn't give a shit.
Maybe it was humiliating to the faggots in the audience.
It's humiliating to this writer that fucking feels like he's personally been called out.
The Romeo native was mad people were taping him, and he called them faggots.
So what? Who did he hurt by saying that?
Everybody.
Who did he actually hurt? Did somebody pick out a swishy guy and start beating him in the pit?
Well, when you text the original story to me,
yeah,
it hurt my heart to know that some bigot like Kid Rock is still out there using the term faggot. This is 2021, as you know. So
yeah, so
he's a Neanderthal, man. He needs to be winnowed out.
Yeah, so because a bunch of weak-minded pussies can't handle words, everybody should change the words to meet their weakness.
We do. We need to adjust everything to accommodate the weak.
Fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck right the fuck off. Nobody's adjusting to you, you cuntbags. How's that? I won't call you a faggot. You're a cuntbag. Just a bag of cunt. Just fish-smelly dead meat.
Well, he was playing at the place called Fish Lips Bar and Grill.
There, it's probably because it Fish Lips smells like this writer. Just cunt smell.
Right.
Oh, what a bitch.
You fucking faggots with your iPhones out, to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
He also reportedly pointed to his crotch and told the filming fans to post his junk.
Yeah. He don't care.
So good on him.
Yeah. And you know how much this is going to hurt his career? None. And anybody that wants to say, yeah, that's because all of his fans are bigots and homophobes. Okay, whatever. He's still going to make $10 million when he puts out his album in 2022. And I'll tell you straight up, I'll be buying one. Not because I endorse him saying faggot, but just because I enjoy his music. And I couldn't care less what he calls people. Why would I care? Why in the world would I care?
Because you should be down for the cause, man.
No, I have no reason. I have no part of that cause. I'm not pro-gay. I'm not anti-gay. I'm not anything. I could give a shit. You know, as long as there's not a dick creeping toward my asshole, I don't give a shit what people do.
Well, on the other side of the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
someone who I like personally as a person,
okay,
but totally disagree with their political viewpoint.
Okay.
Someone who is very active on social media to espouse their political viewpoint,
okay,
is Tracy Guns.
Yeah, he's made it tough for me to listen to LA Guns, that's for damn sure.
Right. LA Guns guitarist Tracy Guns, who has been an outspoken about his political views on Twitter, because that's a very brave thing to do,
mm-hmm.
be on Twitter, has admitted to the On the Road to Rock podcast that he didn't become interested in political and social issues until relatively late.
Well, he needs to get uninterested again. Go back to being interested in writing songs, Tracy. Bring back contraband. That will be more interesting than you espousing your thoughts about Joe Biden or Donald Trump. What a tool bag.
Tracy, who splits his time between Los Angeles and Denmark, where his wife is from and his son was born, went on to say that America's international image took a severe beating in recent years, particularly under former President Donald Trump.
Mm, well,
of course it did.
then I guess we'd better change.
Yes, of course.
I guess we'd better conform to what everybody in the world wants then. Not just local people. We need to portray ourselves in a way that everybody around the planet finds to be interesting.
Right.
Shut up. This from a guy that fucking had a career on being an individual. You know, he's ridiculous. You know, his whole career was based on doing something that was somewhat different from what other people were doing. You know, whether you like LA Guns or you don't, you can't argue that his sound was different than other people. But he's saying, well, in any other walk of life, you need to be exactly the way other people want you to be. He would have never written back in the, remember when they released Hollywood Vampires?
I know I'm making
a crazy thing. Remember how that was perceived as such a left turn for the band because it was so much lighter and it was a different sound and it wasn't that sleazy, you know, Hollywood sleaze sound anymore. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
According to him, by his own words here, he should have not been allowed to do that.
No, he should have conformed to the standard of whatever the standard was at that time.
Yeah, he should have been putting out records that sounded exactly like Rat.
Or Poison.
Or Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
That's what he should have done. He shouldn't have taken a left turn with his own music. He should have just said, let me see what Bon Jovi's doing. And written another version of Lay Your Hands on Me.
Or even Vicious Circle.
Yeah, Vicious Circle's another one.
Vicious Circle was a complete difference from Hollywood Vampires and Cocked and Loaded.
Yeah, shouldn't have been allowed to do that.
Or what he did with, what was the LA?
The LA Guns, American Hardcore.
Yeah, American Hardcore, that was a complete different turn for LA Guns. It wasn't even LA Guns.
Shouldn't have been allowed to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because the perception was that they were trying to change their sound. So,
right.
You know, that you can't have that perception. Can't have people not seeing you for what you're supposed to be. God forbid you grow up.
Right.
Or God forbid you shake up anybody. You know, that's so stupid. What a dumb thing to say.
Right. Well, Tracy Guns, reading strictly from the CNN MSNBC playbook.
Mm-hmm.
He says the exposure of racism and hate in our country is embarrassing.
So then stay out of our country, dickhead. Go back to Denmark and stay there in your fucking utopia. Fuck you. Move. What a dick.
Yeah. It is embarrassing, Gunn said. My Danish friends, they've been telling me how now for a couple of years. We really used to love the United States. We all wanted to go there and be in bands. It was so exciting. And you've got to remember, Denmark is pretty much a socialist democracy.
Yeah,
it's state run. My baby was born there a year ago. Fantastic. Here's what the bill looked like from the hospital. And he holds up a blank piece of paper. Mm. Oh, here, enjoy your baby. It's a lot different. And it's a very calm community of people. They're relaxed, they're happy, they work, they're educated, they're healthy, all these things. So when this country crazy thing kind of happens over here with Trump getting elected, they were like, what happened? Everybody asked me, how did the guy become president? Like, wow. And then we started having the riots associated with protests and things got really scary.
Yeah. Because Trump couldn't fucking shut him down the way he wanted to, dummy. And why does Trump have anything to do with the fucking Danish people having riots? The only time I have got any use for the Danish is breakfast. Shut up, idiots.
Now, here's where the hypocrisy really kicks in.
Yeah.
Now, who and how do the Californians vote?
Left.
Yeah, they always vote Democrat, right?
Right.
Who runs the state of California? Democrats.
Nancy. Yeah,
Nancy. How long have they been running the state of California?
Forever.
Since Reagan? Like 30 plus years?
Most of my life.
Yeah. So California has been a blue state for a couple of decades now.
Right.
And you know, their policies are high taxes. Their policies are this, you know, this letting illegals come into the country, you know, high welfare, high, you know, everything, just Democrat policies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this.
All right.
I live in Hollywood. When I'm in America, Hollywood looks like it was hit by a bomb.
Yeah, sure does.
No joke. This is a scary place to be. And yeah. The only thing I can relate to it is Rio de Janeiro, where they have a real separation of economic structure. So you have this favela, F-A-V-E-L-A, favela, which looks like the Hollywood Hills, but covered in little white box houses and homes. That's where the poor people live. That's where drugs are rampant and crime is rampant. And about 2 miles, I guess, south, you're driving on the road and there's like 5-star golf courses and clubs. And that's what LA feels like to me right now.
Yeah.
Who's been in charge of California for the last couple of decades?
And who is right now? You know, they're the people that are in charge have the power to change it. They're choosing not to, Tracy.
Right. Right. You got Pelosi. You got Adam Schiff. You got Gavin Newsom.
Yeah. Who's the mayor? Who's the mayor of L.A.? Is it Garcetti?
I can't remember his name, but
I think it's young Garcetti, like the younger Garcetti.
Yeah. So who are you blaming Donald Trump for this, Tracy?
I guess Trump had some influence for the last 40 fucking years.
And that's what LA feels like to me right now. It's like a really bizarre mix. And there's so many businesses that are out of business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? Yeah. Because of this $15 minimum wage, these tax hikes, this overburdening of the tax system.
Yeah.
There's so many empty apartments. Yeah, because nobody can afford to live there.
Yeah, because no one has a job, dummy.
And there's so many homeless people. That's because the state encourages people to come there and get on the welfare system.
Yeah. Close the goddamn border. You'll have less homeless people.
Or you don't offer, welfare benefits to people who are homeless.
Yeah.
You're encouraging this.
Yeah.
And this all just doesn't add up. There's plenty of shelter for people. Mm-hmm. Why can't we help? See, this is the problem. You keep throwing money at stuff and it just never gets any better, because once you start suckling on the teat and that mm-hmm. becomes your mainstay of sustenance or the way that you maintain yourself, it never ends. It never encourages people to go out and achieve on their own.
All right, now here's the thing, and I'm going to throw this idea out there, and a guy like Tracy would never go for this. I'm fine with if you house the homeless. I'm fine with it. If there's a bunch of empty places, fine, house them. But they got to show up every fucking day. Anybody that's able-bodied has to show up every day, and just like he's saying, there's a million things that are wrong that can be dealt with on the lowest level by the lowest skilled worker. They can clean up the streets. They can clean up all the needles on the ground. They can clean the shit off the fucking grounds. They can clean up garbage on the highways. They can, you know, work on, you know, gardening and shit like that in all the state places. Why is that not an option? You want to have an option? There's an option. You can have free housing and all that shit, but you're going to work for it. You're going to earn it. You shouldn't be giving it for free. And then when you earn it long enough, then you get yourself ready to go get a job, and then you go get a fucking job. That's how we all did it when we were kids. Dude, how much did you make your first job?
Well, shit, right? I started working when I was 9 years old.
Okay. So you made what? $2 a day?
Well, what I did is I had to go out to a cornfield where they grew sweet corn.
Mm-hmm.
I started at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you would have to work four rows. You would walk down the middle of a row of corn, mm-hmm. and you would work the row right on each side of you and the row on the outer next row. And you would pick the sweet corn.
Right.
Okay. And you would put it in these wire baskets.
Okay.
And you would fill these wire baskets up with the sweet corn and you would get 25 cents a basket.
Okay.
So you basically had to fill four baskets to get a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So to fill four baskets of sweet corn, it took maybe, I don't know, a half an hour.
Sure.
So that's what I made. I made about a buck, maybe $2 an hour.
Yeah.
And you would work between 5 and 10 in the morning. So 5 hours so I'd make $5 or $6 for a day.
Yeah. Now, you know, your dad could have just handed you $6 a day.
Oh, that was never going
to
happen.
Of course not. Why? Because, and why have you been able to keep your house and never lose a house and never have a car repoed and all that shit?
Because
your dad taught you how to earn.
Exactly.
That's it. None of these, the reason that that most of the people that are homeless is because they don't know how to earn. They're not conditioned to want to earn. That's the biggest problem. It's not that they can't earn, it's that they don't want to. They're waiting for the government to be thrown out, you know, to be stuck in their mouth for them. They don't even want to open their mouth. They want somebody to come over and position their mouth in the right way so that a tit will fit in it.
Right.
That's how fucking pathetic they are.
Well, I agree.
And you know, California as a state, they don't fucking want to fix it because, like I said, I just threw out an idea off the top of my head. Clean up the goddamn streets with the people that are making the mess. Just use that to clean up the area.
Well, see that goes down to a whole nother thing is because they had this, well, during the Clinton administration, they had the welfare to work program.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there was complaints about that. Well, look, you're taking advantage of these people on welfare and making them work for their whatever. Yeah. And you're giving them the most shittiest jobs.
Yeah.
Well, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. You know what? Nobody starts as the CEO of fucking Microsoft.
No, you should start at the top, dude.
No, you shouldn't. You literally should be the guy picking up the drug needles.
No, you're shaming these people.
Yeah. So that they'll keep working harder to stop doing those jobs. Nothing will convince you to stop cleaning up shit than cleaning up shit.
Right.
Nothing will do that for you. You clean up shit or carcasses, like animal carcasses on the side of the highway. You will do anything in your power once you're doing that and you're scraping guts off the fucking street day after day after day. You will do anything in your power to stop doing that.
I agree.
So this is how, that's how work ethic works, Tracy. I know you've never had to do that because you've been graced enough to have enough people that'll buy your records to keep you, you know, from having to go get a job. But believe me, dude, he used to have work ethic. It still does have work. I don't even want to say he doesn't have work ethic. He still goes out and shows up for all his gigs and plays and writes music. He's not waiting for somebody to hand him music to play. Is he?
Well, see, that's always been the thing with me. It's just like, I don't understand how people who are in the entertainment business can have so much empathy for people who won't work.
Yeah.
Because obviously your success as an entertainer didn't mm-hmm. just fall in your lap. You had to prove yourself somehow.
Yeah.
And, well, and you worked, you gigged, you tried out, you went to band rehearsals, you went to showcases, you know, you marketed yourself, all these other things that they did. Because you wanted to make it?
Yeah.
How come you don't apply that same work ethic or that same ethic to other people,
right,
whether they're in the entertainment industry or not, whether it's just working a job or whatever? And again, the whole McDonald's cliche is real old, but I'm going to use it anyway. From working as, you know, the fry person or the front counter person to being the store manager.
Yeah. Yeah, no, dude, it's think about this. Tracy is complaining about LA or Hollywood. Tracy has a band.
that could use unskilled people to tour with them, to wheel in gear, wheel out gear, take the gear apart, put it in the boxes. Why isn't he grabbing 2-3 homeless guys and giving them their break? Instead, he's going to bitch and moan about it on fucking social media and not do a goddamn thing.
Right.
Why don't you take 2 or 3 people off the street, Tracy? Why don't you do that and show them how to fucking pack your gear, show them how to tune your fucking guitars, and take them out on the road and let them learn to earn. And then maybe they'll go from the LA Guns Tour to the Blackstone Cherry Tour. And then maybe from the Blackstone Cherry Tour to the Black Label Society Tour. And then to the, you know, whatever, the Bruce Springsteen Tour or whatever. Maybe they'll grow in that industry. Maybe you can be the helping hand since you're so fucking full of ideas, like none. You just like to bitch and moan. Do something more than bitching and moaning. Employ somebody. Help them get back on their feet. But nah, it's easier to just go on fucking Twitter and say, oh, Orange Man bad. My Danish friends didn't like him. I'm important enough to say that. Shut up. You don't do anything to help, so shut up.
Yeah, I have a personal life, Tracy added. I live in 2 countries. I have a child that lives in each country. I make records. I do things. I'm tired of this country being embarrassing to every other country. Even the shittiest countries in the world are embarrassed by the actions that occur in this country. And it's sad.
And you know what? Most of us don't give a fuck.
But yet there's still people lined up at the southern border trying to get in here.
Yeah, but most of us don't give a fuck what other countries think about us. But the only reason he gives a fuck is because he lives somewhere else.
Yeah,
because he's had enough privilege to live in 2 countries. Right?
I agree. But the thing is, if it's so horrible, why are so many people lining up to try to get in here?
Because it's not. It's just fucking left-leaning lunacy that Tracy is continuing to spew on his fucking social media.
No, this is the indoctrination of CNN and MSNBC and big tech.
Yeah. People just believe this bullshit.
I agree.
Just stop it. You know, until you're... Now, if Tracy wants to be taken seriously, and I'll give him that if he does, if these are truly his points, and we see an article on Blabbermouth tomorrow that says, LA Guns taking 3 homeless guys and teaching them how to be roadies. I'll be the first one to applaud them. I'll be the first one to say, that's how you fucking really make some goddamn change. You don't like the way your town is, your city is put together. Then you change it. So go change it. Stop acting like your words mean something because you got a bunch of sycophant fucking followers that'll sit there and go, damn right, Tracy. Damn right. Orange Man's bad because you said so. And I love the Ballad of Jane. I'm a big fan of malaria. So since you wrote that, I'm going to worship you all the way, boy. Shut up. What a tool bag.
Anyway, moving on. This just in.
Okay.
Stimulus checks to every American has surpassed 2 million signatures.
What do you
mean? More than 2 million people have signed a petition calling for $2,000 monthly stimulus checks to support Americans as the pandemic continues.
Yeah, let's keep doing that because the price of... This makes my fucking head hurt, Neely.
Of course it does.
Do any of these 2 million people not go to the grocery store and see the crazy price hikes that are going on?
Well, if you're not earning the money to pay for your groceries, why do you care what it costs?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because $2,000 means nothing anymore. $2,000 doesn't mean what the $1,400 meant 6 months ago.
But $2,000 a month means more than no dollars a month.
Yeah, and what? We can just sustain that forever? Who's going to pay for that?
Well, who cares who's going to pay for it just as long as I get it?
Yeah, fuck off.
I don't care where it comes from.
Fuck off.
Just as long as I get it, just keep giving it to me.
You know what? There's this thing and a lot of people know about it, you open your door in the morning and you go out and you go somewhere and you do something, and then you come home and you close your door again, and you can get that $2,000 every month if you want it. Every fucking month it's there for you if you want it.
Well, maybe Tracy Guns will hire you as a roadie.
No, he won't hire me as a roadie. I have a job.
No, I'm talking about one of these people.
Oh, yeah. Why would they? The truth is, why would they go out and be a roadie when they can get $2,000 for nothing?
Well, that's my point. There's no incentive to work.
Yeah, of course not. And then he'll be like, in Denmark, they would give him that money willingly. Those Danish people, they get free money and free health care.
Yeah,
they don't have to pay for anything.
And their tax rate in Denmark is 90%.
Yeah.
You get to keep 10 cents of every dollar that you earn.
Yeah, that's great. You get to work 55 minutes for the fucking city of every hour.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
The petition was posted on change.org last year by Stephanie Bonin. See if there's a picture of her. Is this a person of certain ethnic descent? Stephanie Bonin, B-O-N-I-N, who owns a restaurant in Colorado.
Well, she's not she's of ugly descent.
Fugly?
Yeah.
She comes from Lower Fuglyville?
Yeah, she's the mayor of Fugly Town.
I'm calling on Congress to support families with a $2,000 payment for adults and a $1,000 payment for kids immediately.
Oh, well, let's
go right on. And continue regular checks for the duration of this crisis, Bonin wrote in a petition.
What crisis? Does she not go out? Every fucking store that I go past has a fucking hiring sign on it.
I know.
There she is.
Oh, my God.
What a jewel.
Oof.
She's a beauty.
God damn. Even if you decided to hook up with that, she'd definitely rake your dick.
She got some Mr. Ed's going on there.
Oh.
I like her hair, though.
Do you?
Yeah, it's you know, 2021 mop. Jeez, nice.
Ouch. Otherwise, laid-off workers, furloughed workers, and self-employed and workers dealing with reduced hours will struggle to pay their rent or put food on their table. Again, why is this the government's issue?
Because who knows?
Why is it always on the government?
Because we need to be kept, man.
Really? Really? I don't want the government telling me how and where and when I can earn money and how I should spend it.
Neely, I need help. I need somebody to guide me. I need somebody to take care of me.
Yeah. All right. You know what? I definitely, you know, this is kind of my bucket list here. And I've been talking about this a while and I've been really looking into this.
Yeah.
I am going to be a life coach. Because if there is that much money floating around out there and that many lost people out there, I'm gonna make bank. I'm gonna go out there and say, yeah, you're a fuck up. This is what you should do instead. Oh, by the way, that's a $200 session.
This is my terrible life coach, Neely. You'll be a terrible life coach.
Will I?
Yes. I'm going to tell you how that calls. Give me any situation and I'll tell you how to solve it. Any situation you think that you'll
solve. All right. All right. Well, my friends and I, okay, I'm unemployed. I'm getting this $2,000 stimulus check. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem to go far enough in the month because I like to go with my friends. The new Hard Rock Casino just opened up and I love to go to the Hard Rock and I like to play the slot machines over there. And somehow I don't end up winning like I think I should. And then at the end of the month when the rent is due, I'm always short.
Well, as your life coach, I, Wendell Neely, have some great advice for you. I say, first and foremost, do not go get a job. For God's sakes, you're already getting $2,000. That's what you're owed. You're owed that by the people. So for please, first and foremost, stay home. And secondly, have you considered finding yourself a good earner to live with? That would be the best scenario for you. Let somebody else do that earning, because you've earned the right by doing nothing to stay home and be taken care of. And there's plenty of other programs that you can file for too within the government, and they don't really check them well enough to where you can rake a lot of money in. So do not do anything to better yourself. You're already great. You're already wonderful. Participation trophy for you for being so perfect. But just work just a tiny, tiny bit harder to find somebody else to care for you. Okay? And you know what? I'm going to give you this session for free because I don't want to tax you too hard for paying for my services. I'll just bill it against your insurance. You have insurance, right? Free health care. You have Medicaid. Well, I'm going to bill that against your Medicaid. No, okay?
It's Obamacare.
Well, then your Obamacare will take care of it. Thank you very much. You know, so, I'm right.
So you basically lie to him.
Yes.
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 Yeah. Might as well walk away a rich bitch.
You can be a good life coach or you can be a successful life coach.
Right.
I suggest you be a successful life coach.
Not an honest life coach, just no. Somebody who can rake in the cash.
Whatever your thought is, listening to these losers, say the opposite thing.
Okay.
When you want to say, you're a fucking piece of shit, get out there and get a job.
Tell them they're great and what they're doing, the path they're on is the great thing to do. Yeah.
And it's everybody else's fault that they're not succeeding. Oh, you don't do anything and play video games? Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, who expects somebody that's 32 years old to do anything but play GTA 5? That's what you're supposed to be doing. Stay home and keep doing it. Don't go get a job.
All the cool kids are doing that, and you're doing it because you're a cool kid too.
Is your mother still alive? Let her foot the bill. You didn't ask to be born. So therefore, it's her responsibility to pay for you, right?
Right.
Keep staying at home. In fact, tell mom you want a PS5. You shouldn't have to work on that lowly PS4. How are you going to get better at Call of Duty if you're on an old system? See, we've got it down. We could be life coaches, successful ones.
Right. Tell them what they want to hear.
Yes.
All right. In a petition, Bonin urges Congress to issue immediate checks and reoccurring payments. Mm. Congress needs to make sure that we won't be left financially ruined for doing our part to keep this country healthy.
We're already $80 trillion or whatever it is in debt. What is the magic number where we're ruined? I'm saying it's probably about $10 trillion less than where we're at now.
Well, we're at about $30 trillion in debt right now.
I would say that the number of before we're ruined was about $5 trillion. We're fucked.
We are fucked.
And you just want to keep handing out more money?
Yeah, where does it come from?
2,000 times 350 million. That's a lot of money. I don't know. Is that 7 trillion or 7?
Yeah. Well, the current quote unquote stimulus is on the table right now.
Yeah.
Is like $7 trillion.
Oh, so just another 7 trillion. So what the fuck? Let's get to an even 50 before we start worrying about it.
Sure. Why not?
Why not?
There have been 3 rounds of stimulus checks in 15 months. Eligible Americans received $1,400 stimulus check in March. The Trump administration issued 2 stimulus checks 9 months apart. The checks in the first round were $1,200 and those in the second were $600.
Is that their way of, even though they were all up Trump's ass about giving these checks, now that a little time has passed, now they're going to blame the checks on Trump?
Yeah.
Well, he gave out 2.
Yeah.
He gave all the money away.
And the thing, you know, what's always, you know, absent from these type of, articles?
What's that?
It never calls the stimulus checks taxpayer money.
Yeah, exactly. Gift. It's not a gift.
You know, and I'm thinking to myself, what is $12,000 and $600 going to do for anybody over a period of time? I take that home in a week.
Yeah.
I take that home in a week.
Yeah, it's not doing anything for anybody. So,
Congress has been slow to issue the checks because of partisan disagreement. No, there's partisan disagreements. Democrats and Republicans have different versions of the check amounts and other relief measures in an overall spending package.
Mm.
Bonin criticized the amount of time it took Congress to come into an agreement. Another single check won't solve our problems. No amount of money is going to solve your problems. It doesn't happen.
I just would like to go back to, who the fuck is this chick? She's just some chick that runs a restaurant, right?
She started a change.org page.
So what?
Well, she's an expert, goddammit. Oh,
all right, well. I mean, as far as I know, she's an expert at making cheesecake, not fucking solving the economic problems of the country.
Or eating corn through a picket fence.
Yeah, no kidding. Good Lord.
People are just too far behind, Bowen wrote. Like, we've been saying from the beginning of this pandemic, people need to know when the next check is coming.
No, they don't. How about this? They don't need to know that. You know when the next check is coming? 2 weeks after you start your job, you lazy fucks. Go to work. The next check will be there in 2 weeks.
And the best thing our government can do right now is to send emergency money to the people on a monthly basis.
Oh, good idea. Great idea.
Bonin's petition garnered so much support that change.org recognized it in the list of the top 10 petitions that changed in 2020. Senate Democrats have urged Congress and the Biden administration to pass reoccurring relief checks to help stave off financial devastation brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. Supplying Americans with a monthly support check, they can get back on their feet. They'll never get back on their feet.
No.
And save our communities from financial ruin. People never get on their feet with a handout. It never happens.
No, it makes you comfortable. You get comfortable with it. You know, you know what the biggest thing that is missing is shame. There's no shame anymore. They did it over the last 15 years where they got rid of the food stamps and made it now like it looks like a credit card and all that other shit.
Right, of course.
You've never been on the system, have you?
Never.
I was on the system between right before I got the job at the steel mill. So this is a terrible example because look what happened. But I was working at a moving company, moving furniture. And I couldn't find a fucking job. And then that job dried up. So I was, you know, I had three babies and, you know, and I was dead fucking broke. I had no money. So I got on the system. And I'm going to tell you, it was the most embarrassing shit of my life. You know, and, you know, I'm a guy that talks about fucking goddamn food, for God's sakes. And this embarrassed me more than that. Just going to the grocery store and having to whip out a fucking check set of EBT checks and pay for fucking food with food stamps, that was demeaning as fuck, and it was horrible. And you know what it did? It made me get back to my car every time, punch my fucking steering wheel, and go, I gotta fucking fix this.
Yeah, of course.
I've got to stop. I gotta get off this fucking system. And I was on the system for maybe 3 months. And to be honest, I was putting in applications everywhere. Couldn't even afford to drive. So I was walking the streets of Northfield, Ohio, going to every fucking Mr. Chicken and McDonald's and everywhere, begging for a job until finally I got the great jewel of a job at the steel mill. But, you know, I was so embarrassed to go to the grocery store and have to pay for a fucking pack of bologna and a cheap box of cheese with a fucking food stamp while the guy behind me is looking at me like, look at this fucking loser. You know, I hated that.
Yeah.
And that's gone now. We should have embarrassment. You should have shame in not being able to take care of yourself.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head. It's just like we've normalized this now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're healthy, I get it. If you're not healthy, if you're truly, you know, not healthy for reasons outside of being like me that just loves pizza.
Or
you
know, somebody who maybe smoked themselves,
yeah,
you know, or drank themselves or became drug dependent, right, or whatever the case may be. I get that. If you're, you know, disabled because, yeah, of, you know, circumstances.
Yeah. Okay. Then you can be helped. But if you're able bodied, you need to be out there being able bodied, using the able body to take care of yourself. This comfort level of, well, I'll just stay home. You know, the fact that a guy like fucking Tracy Guns is bitching about, you know, homeless people here and there. I won't say who, but we have friends in the music business that we know that are driving Ubers and are working grocery jobs and doing what they got to do until touring opens up. They didn't let themselves get homeless. They're doing what they got to do to survive.
It's been very well publicized here on the show. Mm-hmm. I did what I had to survive. I went through a real rough patch where I drove a cab for 2.5 years.
Yeah, 12 hours a day for 7 days a week, if I remember right. Right.
Yeah, sometimes it was 7 days a week. So for 32 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I drove a cab, you know, hoping to get tips and stuff. Some days I came home with $50. Some days I came home with, you know, $180. But it was never consistent. I had a home to pay for. I had my living to pay for and bills to pay for and all these other things. But I did what I had to survive. And I went there every day. Never missed a day.
Fuck yeah.
Never missed a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this whole theory of, well, I'll just stay home. You know, dude, there should be no homeless people right now because every goddamn business under the sun is hiring.
They are.
Every business I pass has a help wanted sign in it. Everyone, from banks to stores to restaurants to everything, they all have help wanted signs up, and nobody's filling the positions.
Nope.
It's fucking sick.
I agree. Completely agree. All right. Well, I say we take a short break.
All right.
Our good friend Sal in the chat room asked to play this song. He wanted to hear some Vane.
Like that.
And he wanted to hear some Beat the Bullet. So for those of you who are not out there employed and are waiting for that reoccurring stimulus check, you better get out there and get on your high horse and get a job because you're going to have to beat the bullet.
That's right, pal.
So here it is. It's Davey Vane and company with Beat the Bullet exclusively here
on your Classic Metal Show.
Hi.
Thanks for checking out this episode of The Classic Metal Show. Get all of our episodes uncensored at www.theclassicmetalshow.com. Join us weekly from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. Eastern at www.cmsradio.net. Participate in the live chat room at www.chatandkill.com. Once again, thank you for checking out The Classic Metal Show with Neely and Chris. Hail and kill. Fuck you, pal. And hand job.